Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, founder of Agency Revolution. We make it easy for you to automate your systems, engage your customers, and grow your agency or brokerage. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where we explore the trends, innovations, challenges, and solutions to the biggest problems facing the retail agent and broker of today. I want to welcome our guest, Scott Addis. He's the CEO of Beyond Insurance. Beyond Insurance was founded in 2007 as a coaching and consulting firm that drives top-line revenue growth of insurance organizations through a systematic process of differentiation, innovation, and transformation. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All righty. So I've told I've told our listeners just a little bit about you, but why don't you give us a little more about your professional background? Because I think it's really interesting, and I think it really informs the unique work you do in the industry. Tell us, you know, where did Scott Addis come from?
Well, I guess in baseball terms, if I could just talk about starting in the minor leagues and then progressing to the major leagues and now being a coach. But I'm a very lucky guy. I started with a firm called Johnson & Higgins in the late 1970s, and I was in a division which was called Middle Market. Middle Market was focused on businesses without a risk manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I was taught at a young age, my job is to become an outsourced risk manager, and first and foremost, to think strategically about every client I serve. I then went on, was very fortunate, I was involved with the University of Pennsylvania, Comcast Corporation, Campbell Soup as examples. And I then had experience directly working with a risk manager of a large corporation. And what I saw was every waking day, the risk manager's primary function was the identification, prioritization, and mitigation of risk. The insurance transaction was simply a piece of the equation, but certainly in no way did it dominate the risk manager. But yet, as you know, and I know, in most middle market businesses, the insurance transaction seems to dominate the time where they invest. So very simply, I started a firm from scratch in 1990 called the Addis Group. We had a great run. I was very fortunate. I was Inc. Magazine Entrepreneur of the Year, and then we were the Insurance Broker of the Year in the United States in 2003 by National Underwriter.
Congratulations.
At that point, there was an article came out that said Addis was risk management cap to grow beyond insurance and touched on our formula. And there were many people saying, my gosh, you seem to have captured something, the essence of how we become differentiated in the marketplace. Would you coach? Would you train? So at this point, I have now left the firm that I built, a 25-year run with that firm. We grew up around $19 million in revenue, and now I'm full-time doing coaching and training.
Well, congratulations.
With a firm called Beyond Insurance.
Congratulations. Tell us, what's your vision for Beyond Insurance?
Well, in reality, it's a 10-year-old firm. I was able to go ahead and start the firm under the umbrella of my parent company, who was a bank, who gave me permission to do that and spend a portion of my time, now obviously 100%. So the mission has been very clear. It's really trying to go right at the heart of commoditization. If you think about so many businesses, they've been commoditized, and if something's commoditized, the consumer doesn't truly appreciate the value of those who are delivering that. So that's been the whole beginning, and now where we are is how do you actually help agency principals, producers, into the insurance carriers? How do you really help them break through the commodity trap?
So, Scott, you've been in this in the insurance world for quite a while. Do you think that a trend has moved towards a higher perceived sense of commoditization among consumers?
No question about it. And a little bit of background, as you know, there is a process in our industry called the risk management process. And unfortunately, today is most consumers are not allowing the agent or broker to take them through the process. Step one is the art of discovering the customer. Step two are strategies to manage risk. Step three is plan, design, and implementation. Step four is monitoring. Most consumers today are demanding we come in and give them plans supported by products. And yet the art of what we do is based upon a process-driven approach of discovering the customer, to think strategically about what needs they have, and then start to apply risk management techniques, of which insurance is simply one of many techniques. But today's consumer is simply thinking the fundamental job of the agent or broker and carrier is delivering competitive products. The process, we must get back and realize the process must first and foremost dominate.
So they want you to jump in to step, sort of step two or three or four, kind of at the end of the process. Is that what you think the consumer is moving towards?
Well, yeah. Let's talk about medical terms. Medical terms, a physician consults in step one.
Mm-hmm.
Step two is to diagnose, and then in step three is to go ahead and implement the plan of treatment, and then,
right,
of course, they monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the listening today may realize you go into a consumer today, many of them have things such as policies prepared, they have loss runs prepared, and the conversation starts about what markets might you approach, who has broader policy forms. That is step three. The implementation process is dominating our industry, and I don't know whether it's the personal lines commercials that people are fed today, but the true necessity out there, especially for small and middle market companies and personal lines accounts, is for someone to take the time to take them through step one, discover the organization or family, and think strategically about risk. And in medical terms, it's the consultative and diagnostic phase before you get to the plan of treatment. Putting it simply, if you try to treat with insurance without first consulting and diagnosing, you could actually do more harm.
So an agent or a broker comes to you, Scott. They come into your system, and they probably have, I mean, clearly they've got some skills, and if they're going to be associated with you, they've got some passion, but they probably have some problems or deficiencies that they want to overcome. What do you see as the most significant changes that agents or brokers need to make in their sales process?
Well, thanks for asking that question. It's a great question, and I'm going to use a big word, and that word is transformation.
Okay.
I think a lot of the people that I see today have so much darn talent, it's crazy, but the talent isn't being realized. Mm-hmm. People that are literally sitting back with hit ratios of 25 to 30%, key accounts they're under competition too frequently. Their retention ratio isn't where it would be. These people came into this industry wanting to make a difference, and they're not making a difference they want. They're not having the career path that they want. So all I have to do is simply, in many ways, like a baseball player or some other athlete or an entertainer, it's a small mind shift. The first thing I do is to make them realize the business they're in may be slightly different. They're not in the business of selling insurance products. They're in the business of risk and risk analysis and risk identification.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the business of risk, insurance is nothing more than a piece of risk. So the first thing is they're not in the product business. They're in the process business. They're in the business of really risk identification and analysis. So that's the first thing.
Right.
The second is to hand them a process, and the process is nothing that I invented. It simply is the basis of the CPCU, the basis of many other programs, and that is really step one, the art of exposure identification. In simplistic terms, it's discovering a business or family. By doing that, you automatically become a strategist. You know the business. You're thinking strategically about the business as well as the risks that impact that.
Mm-hmm.
Step three, then, is implementing the plan or process, and four is monitoring. So all I'm really doing in simplistic terms, this is what people say so often, my gosh, Scott, this is so darn simple. All I'm doing is I've got to make sure I require the customer to go through this process. So I do have a simple formula, Michael. It's P5 times I3.
P5 times I3. Okay.
Yeah. The first P is process.
Mm-hmm.
They must go ahead and deliver a process, not product. And the process I recommend is the proven process has been there for years and years, the risk management process. Step two is packaging. The second P is packaging. How are they packaging themselves? Are they differentiating themselves in the eyes of the consumer? I, for example, detest the word producer. Producer to me is one who sells insurance products. I truly believe, tell them who you are. You're a risk analyst, a business risk analyst, an outsourced risk manager,
uh-huh,
a risk architect, whatever that might be.
Right.
So the first P is process, packaging, mm-hmm, and positioning. If we try to position ourselves right in the heart and soul of getting competitive bids, we are going to be seen as a vendor. I think people need to step back and say, when would the consumer truly take the time to appreciate my process? And the last two are the essence, and that is purpose and passion.
Okay.
So many people today, I'm seeing people in their mid-40s that have even lost purpose and passion. I've seen people in late 30s losing purpose and passion. But if you have a unique process, your packaging is cool and differentiated.
Right.
Your positioning at the opportune time, you will have tremendous purpose and passion.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the P's. The I's are issues, implications, interventions. The job of anybody listening today, your primary fundamental job is understanding the issues that face the family or the business.
Right.
If you sit back and say you do not know the fundamental issues facing the business or family, you can't be diagnostic. If you don't know the issues, how do you apply your strategies? So the first is issue. The second is implication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you find an issue. What is the implication of that issue to a family or business? And then lastly, it's intervention. So the formula, once again, is so vital. And I just try to give people simple techniques to follow the formula. And I have to say it's simple,
yeah,
but very, very powerful.
Okay, so I want to go back to a word you used, transformation. What do you see? What happens? What is the transformation that happens to, let's say, an agency or to a broker when they go through this process? I'm going to jump to an assumption. You can tell me I'm right or wrong. I think I'm right. The relationship with their customers is deeper. The relationship is a high loyalty relationship. The customers are willing probably to purchase more insurance. They're probably willing to stay with you longer, and they probably provide more referrals. Did I get that right?
Oh boy, you nailed it! And in many respects, transformation allows you to step back and view who you are and what you're all about. But transformation applies to the customer experience journey. What we're really trying to do is, how do we go ahead and transform ourselves in a way where we can deliver a very robust and very meaningful customer experience journey which drives emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I talk a lot about great organizations, whether it be Disney or Ritz-Carlton or Chick-fil-A. In reality, they deliver an engineered customer experience journey. I truly believe you must transform yourself so you can be in a position to say, okay, now I want to go ahead and release all of our capabilities, all of our talents, all of our energies to go ahead and deliver this very unique and differentiated journey, which is not that complicated. It's simply going back to the art of discovery and the art of delivering strategies.
Hey, a few minutes ago, you talked about the low hit ratios of 20-25% or something like that. What happens to that hit ratio when somebody really engages in this process?
We're seeing 90-95%, and I can just go through that very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone listening today should have a criteria filter. Yes, you want to put as many accounts as you can into your pipeline,
mm-hmm,
but at some point there must be a filter. So very simply, I teach people that there are three basically filters that you must go through. In a first meeting, at some point in that session, you ask three questions. Michael, tell me more about the relationship with your current agent or broker. Second question,
yeah,
might I come back next week and spend more time with your management team?
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, are you enthused about my process? So let's assume they say, oh my gosh, Michael, I've got a 25-year relationship with my brother-in-law. They're terrific, but you know, I do want a competitive bid. And this time of year, our people are so busy. My CEO and COO, they would not have time to meet with you. And I don't know why they'd want to meet you with you anyhow. And lastly is, your process, I don't know. I really didn't want to go through steps one and two. There's no reason for you to understand my business or to think strategically. I just want a competitive bid. That, to me, is three red lights. So what I teach people is basically, in the first meeting, you must understand, are you on a level playing field, playing into the wind,
mm-hmm,
or are you playing with the wind at your back?
Right.
And let's assume it's a different conversation. You say, my gosh, my current agent or broker, really good person, but doesn't know my issues. On a referability index, there are five. I don't see them at the same level as my CPA or attorney.
Right.
Yes, I'd love you to come back and meet with my leadership team. I think they'd find your process fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, on the process, this is something I've been looking for years. What's so revolutionary, Michael, in the first meeting, basically people walk out knowing if they have the order.
Got it.
I mean, people literally today can walk out and know, Did the consumer buy into this process? Are they enthused about the process of going through this? Number two, what is the relationship with the incumbent? And number two, do they have access to the leadership team? And if you can get all three green lights, you're literally at the five-yard line. On the other hand, you get three red lights, you've got to step back and say, what's at risk? Do I really go through this process?
It's could be an incredible waste of time, right, to keep them in the funnel just because you don't want to lose that option.
Yeah. And walk-away power, as you know, is very powerful. So in some cases, to say, sir or ma'am, at this point in time, I don't think it's right to engage because it appears that our process is not right at this point or whatever it might be. But I certainly think that walk-away power is exactly that.
Scott, I understand that you and your team have developed some organizational producer growth surveys. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we've just finished something called the Beyond Insurance Institute, and within the Institute, it's basically a very powerful portal. There are assessment tools there, and the first thing we do, much like in step one of the process, is basically to understand the needs of the agency as a whole or the producer. So I'd be glad to give that out. If anyone would like to go in there, it's beyondinsurance.com/TCIP. Once again, beyondinsurance.com/T, as in Tom, C as in cat, I, and then P.
Mm-hmm.
So as an example, a producer could go through and get what we call a growth survey. There's 24 questions, and they would actually know where they stand in six areas. The six are value proposition, referral network, new business hit ratio, prospect research and qualification, cross-sell, envisioning, and goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
So as they go through these questions, they get to see where they stand in each of those areas. And I think, Michael, you'd agree, if you do have a powerful value proposition, you have a robust network, you have a full pipeline, you are having a cross-sell program, you are envisioning and goal setting, and you're doing proper prospect and research, those are very helpful. For the agency, we have the same thing. The agency principal can go through, well, it's interesting, we actually have the ability to assess the perception of every member of the agency, and the agency consumer or agency principal then gets a report. By the way, those are complementary tools that we have out there for those that have an interest.
Got it.
So, yes, those are the growth surveys.
So anybody can log into that and get the results?
Yes, I get the results instantaneously. And the other is every article I've ever written, and there are about 60, 70 articles, I take great pride, and I research like crazy.
Yeah.
All the articles are there also. So anybody listening today, those are complimentary. The growth surveys, whether it be the agency itself or for the producer or the articles, they are in the Institute.
Got it. Scott, there are a lot of networks in our industry. What do you think differentiates Beyond Insurance from some of the others?
Well, good question. I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing, but today there are 62 agencies across the country, part of something called the Beyond Insurance Global Network.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the biggest thing we're doing is fighting through commoditization using diagnostic tools. If I could speak, for an example, about one sampling of a diagnostic tool, may I do that?
Yeah, please. Yep.
There is a tool we all use called the Intelligent Quotient for Risk Management, or IQRM. It's a quantifiable risk assessment tool that consists of a systematic method to better understand the risk issues facing an organization. It also benchmarks performance against ideal standards. At this point, there are 21 vertical areas built, and behind each one is a subject matter expert. So as an example, on business continuity, we have the former worldwide head of Marsh who is standing behind that.
Mm.
We get the fleet safety, formerly head of UPS, standing behind fleet safety. On substance abuse, Dan Rather's former correspondent. So the verticals go from cyber to workers' compensation, employment practices, background checks, you name it. So from an acquisition tool, you can go into a business, and as soon as you start uncovering in step one what are the issues, you can start applying an IQRM. So what really is it? It's, number one, an educational tool. We're trying to say, how do we, in 15 to 20 minutes, allow that very busy CEO, CFO, HR director to understand what is the risk issue facing the business in whatever that might be, cyber, employment practices, fleet safety. The second thing is, what are best practices? There's a brief survey, and they get a score, much like a credit score or an SAT score. They might get a score of 65 or 73. The next is a response rationale. For every question asked, why is this so important? And most importantly, there's an action plan to improve the score. So I would think everybody listening today has, whether it's a credit score or SAT score, we'd like to have a path to improve that score. This is exactly what we do. And you can imagine how the insurance company underwriters are reacting when they can actually give evidence that a consumer, along with the agent or broker, has gone through the educational process of understanding a risk.
Uh-huh.
The second thing, they've done the assessment. And most importantly, they have an action plan to improve the risk.
The carriers must love this. The insurance carriers.
Yes. So that's just a sampling of one of the tools in the toolkit. So the network, I think, is very different. Our focus is really about a risk profile improvement. No one gets a network unless they can give evidence of their either ability or desire to truly do risk assessments. And that's really what makes it very different. The insurance carriers, by the way, as I mentioned, are seeing a very, very different breed of agent and broker, and one of which is showing results that are like nothing I think they've seen before.
Really? Okay. Scott, I want to wind it up with kind of a personal question, because I think among your five P's, there's no question in my mind that purpose and passion probably mean a great deal to you. What gives you the most satisfaction?
Well, that's a simple one. You know, I think I, like you, you're a game changer. You've been that for your whole career, and that's inside your DNA. At this point in my life, I truly think my job is to inspire people to reach their peak. As you know, I did author a book a while ago called Summit.
Right.
And in there, I talk in the opening chapter about giving people a dose of confidence to begin their transformational journey, to get started, to leave ordinary behind. But basically, it's all about elevating one's personal performance. You know, life is too short, and I think everybody today wants to feel as though they have truly maximized their opportunities for success. So that's what it's all about. It's about giving people the logic, the inspiration, and then the tools to go ahead and maximize their potential.
Scott, if any of our listeners want to find out more about you or find out more about Beyond Insurance, what should they do?
Well, the website is beyondinsurance.com. They can also call me. I'm fanatical about returning phone calls if I'm not available. And that number is 484-704-9501.
Okay, very good. Scott, this has been tremendous. As always, it's been terrific talking to you. I learn a lot every time I do, so I want to thank you very, very much for joining us. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you for all you do for the industry.